Thank you for joining with us once again this week for our midweek broadcast, when normally we'd be meeting for our Bible study and prayer meeting. And as we mentioned on the Lord's Day, we hope to be able, in the will of the Lord, to assemble again in the house of God at the beginning of next month, having our prayer meeting, our midweek prayer meeting first of all, and then the first Lord's Day, the 7th of March, coming together again in the house of God. And do pray that circumstances will be such that we will, in a very definite way, be able to assemble at that particular time. We're coming this evening to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And again, I'm conscious that this broadcast will be going out to the John Knox congregation on Tuesday evening and to the Newton Ards congregation on Wednesday evening. And in both congregations there have been bereavements in recent times, and we want you to remember the Ferris family on the passing of Margaret, and we want you to continue to remember the Livingstone family in Newton Ards on the passing of Vida. And also in recent times, the Dempsey family connected with the John Knox congregation, and also the McCready family connected with Newton Ards, where there have been bereavements in recent times. But we're coming to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We want to read from the verse 9 down to the end of the chapter. 1 Corinthians 6 and the verse 9. There the apostle writes, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Amen. We'll end the reading there. And we know God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Now let's just seek the Lord together for a moment in prayer. And let us ask, and I encourage you, even in your own home, to ask the Lord to minister to your heart through his word this evening. Heavenly Father, we still our hearts before thee once again in prayer. In the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus, we thank thee we can come to thee with all our needs, with the needs of others. Thou art the one who meets the spiritual needs of the soul. Thou art the one that meets the needs of the body as well. And we pray that thou will bless thy word to your hearts at this particular time, that thou wilt cause thy word to find a resting place in our hearts. We pray that thy word will be hidden in our hearts, that we might not sin against thee. We ask again for those that have been bereaved in recent times in our congregations. We think again of the Dempsey family recently connected with our John Knox congregation. We think of Robert tonight, and we think of Robert and of Andrew and of Noel, and we remember them in the passing of Margaret too, that thou wilt draw near, grant thy comfort and grace. We remember those connected with the Newton Ards congregation. We think of the Livingstone family. We think of the McCready family. And we pray that in these homes that thou wilt continue to draw near and grant thy comfort and thy grace. So Lord, come now, speak to us through thy word. And even in our own homes, may we be enabled to engage even in a season of prayer. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now in this letter to the church at Corinth, Paul addressed those to whom he wrote on a number of occasions with these words, "Know ye not," or "Do ye not know?" Paul used this question to bring to mind some important truths which those to whom he wrote knew, but some had seemed to disregard these truths in their lives. For example, in the verse 9 of this 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the apostle wrote this, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" And he went on to list particular sins, unrighteousness. And of course he was pointing out that those who continually live an unrighteous life and continually indulge in sin without repentance, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. And it would seem the manner in which Paul wrote concerning this, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" And he went on, of course, in verse 11 to say, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified," it'd be changed. But it seems that some in Corinth who professed to be the Lord's people were obviously involved in sinful behavior which contradicted their profession. And so Paul was reminding them of this fact. Those who continue in unrighteous living without repentance would not inherit the kingdom of God. And while we know that the saved sinner will not be absolutely sinless in this life, while to our shame we have to say as saved sinners there's times we're cold of heart, there's times the true child of God can backslide, but alongside that, we must say that a professing Christian who indulges in sin continually has to be challenged as to whether they are really a child of God or not. And so here's one example of how Paul used this question to bring to mind the truth that people knew, but which some seemed to disregard in practice as they lived out their lives. The question is used again in verse 15 of 1 Corinthians 6. "Know ye not?" And this time it says, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid." And again verse 16. "What, know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication." And again, it would seem the manner in which this question is addressed, that our bodies are the members of Christ. We're united to Christ. And we're part of his mystical body if we're saved. He's the head, and we are the members. And it seems that the manner in which again Paul addressed this question here would imply that some who profess to be the Lord's in Corinth were behaving in an immoral manner. And therefore, again, their lives were contradicting the profession that they be. But we come this evening to verses 19 and 20 as our text. And again, Paul addresses truth by asking the question in verse 19, what know ye not? And this time he says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? And it would seem once again that some who profess to be the Lord's and to know these truths were living in a manner that contradicted their profession. And of course, what the apostle said here and wrote here in verses 19 and 20, what he wrote is a challenge to those who profess to be the Lord's in every age and in every place. It's interesting in the opening two verses of this letter to the church at Corinth that Paul makes it clear that he's addressing this letter not just to God's people in Corinth. Listen to what he writes in verse 2, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, listen to this, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. These words were not just for the people of God in Corinth, but for all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. God's people in all ages and in all places. And tonight as we come to focus upon the verses 19 and 20 of 1 Corinthians 6, and we'll read them again in a moment. Well, there's teaching in these verses and there's exhortation. And we're called to live in the knowledge of who we belong to. Listen to these words in verses 19 and 20 of 1 Corinthians 6. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. As we consider these two verses as our text this evening, I want to think first of all about the pure person who dwells within. Paul writes, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Now it's only the saved sinner, the forgiven sinner, the one who has turned from sin and trusted in Christ, whose body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The pure person who dwells within. Now, in many ways, this is a very basic truth, but it's a very blessed truth to consider that God himself dwells within the body, the bodies of those whom he saves by his grace. The third person of the Trinity, the blessed Holy Spirit, dwells within the body of the child of God. What a thought that is. In Romans 8 and 9, Paul wrote to another group of believers, and he wrote concerning this same truth. Romans 8 verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. When God saves the soul of a sinner, Galatians 4 and 6 declares that God sends forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And as we read in that verse in Romans 8 and 9, if the Spirit of God doesn't dwell within us, we don't belong to the Lord. The Son of God, in God's great plan of redemption, the Lord Jesus, purchased us. purchased our redemption. And then that redemption was applied to our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And we'll think a little more about the Lord Jesus purchasing us under our next heading. But it was God, the Holy Spirit, who convicted us of our sin and implanted a new heart within us at the new birth, giving us those new desires away from sin and toward God. The Lord Jesus spoke to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 about being born of the Spirit. That's why, to take the words of our text, that can be said of all who are saved by God's grace, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you?" Think of that, child of God. The Holy Ghost dwells within your body. There is a pure person within. He is absolutely pure. He is sinlessly pure. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You know, in the record of the Word of God, you can read of a time when the tabernacle in the Old Testament was God's special dwelling place among the people of Israel. Now, of course, God's omnipresent. He's in all places at all times. But he chose the tabernacle as his special dwelling place among his people. Then later it was the temple. And of course, when the Lord Jesus came into this world as the God-man, his body was the temple of the Holy Ghost. But now, child of God, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Let me give you a few references for what I've just outlined there. If we think of the tabernacle in Exodus 25 and verse 8, as the Lord spoke to Moses, he said, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." God chose to dwell among his people in the tabernacle in a special way. In 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 11, when we think of the temple at a later date, 1 Kings chapter 6 and the verse 11. "And the word of the Lord came to Solomon, saying, concerning this house which thou art in building, if thou wilt walk in my statutes and execute my judgments and keep all my commandments to walk in them, then will I perform my word with thee, which I spake unto David thy father, and I will dwell among the children of Israel, and will not forsake my people Israel." So Solomon built the house and finished it. And as I've said, when the Lord Jesus came into this world as the God-man, he was always full of the Holy Ghost. It's interesting in John 1 and verse 14, of course, that it says there, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." And of course, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, he came as God manifest in the flesh. But he came also filled with the Holy Ghost. Remember, even at his baptism that you can read about in Matthew and Luke, how the Holy Spirit came upon him in the form of a dove. And you can read of that in Luke chapter 3. You can read down in the verse 22 how the Holy Ghost descended in the bodily shape like a dove upon him. And then when you get into Luke chapter 4, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan. And therefore his body was the temple of the Holy Ghost. In John 2, in verse 19, the Lord Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." He spake of the temple of his body. And tonight, if you are saved by God's grace, the same Holy Spirit of God dwells within you, producing spiritual fruit in your life, helping you in prayer, comforting you, exhorting you. Let us be thankful for such a blessing. And let this truth affect how we live. The pure person who dwells within. But there's a second thought from 1 Corinthians chapter 6 in these verses 19 and 20. Not only do we see the pure person within, We see, therefore, the purchased people we are. In verses 19 and 20 of 1 Corinthians 6, we read these words, "And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price." That which the Holy Spirit applied to your hearts personally when we were converted had to be purchased for us by God the Son on the cross, by his sacrifice of himself. Once we were in bondage to Satan and to sin. Listen to Romans 6, in the verse 16. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked, that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." Christ paid the price to redeem us, to buy us back, to free us, to deliver us from the bondage of sin and Satan. And we were purchased and freed, not that we might go on in a life of sin, but that we might be changed and enabled in our sanctification to die unto sin more and more, and to live more and more unto righteousness. What a price Christ paid to purchase us. He gave us all. He left the glories of heaven for a time. He took a body like unto ours. He took a human nature alongside his divine nature, a human nature without sin, and he lived a perfect life. He was obedient then unto the death of the cross. Shed his blood, he died, but he arose again. He paid that price to purchase us. Peter, speaking in Acts 8 and verse 20, said to Simon the sorcerer, "Thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. It cannot be. It was purchased by the shedding of the blood of Christ." When Paul was speaking in Acts 20 and 28 to the Ephesian elders, he spoke of God's people as the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. We're redeemed not with corruptible things such as silver and gold from our vain conversation received by tradition from our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And you know, the price that was paid not only to redeem our souls, but to redeem our bodies. In Ephesians chapter 1 and the verse 17 we read, the verse 7 we read, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." But we're also reminded in Romans chapter 8 and the verse 23, Romans 8 and the verse 23, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." Because the body of the child of God, those who have died, it's going to be raised and reunited to the soul when Christ returns. And for the child of God still alive upon earth when Christ returns, body and soul will be glorified when the Saviour returns. Because we're a purchased people, we're not our own. We belong to our Master. We belong to Christ. And so we're not free to do merely our own pleasure. But our pleasure and privilege is to do our Master's will. Remember on the Damascus Road, Saul of Tarsus said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" That should be the question on the lips of every child of God. The hymn writer said, "Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me not for the years of time alone, but for eternity." So here in 1 Corinthians 6, in these verses 19 and 20, we've considered the pure person within. The Holy Ghost dwells within us. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We have also considered the purchased people we are. We're not our own, for we're bought with a price. But that brings us to a third thought. The pressing duty we have. Because of this great privilege that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, that we've been bought with a price, therefore, the apostle says, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see, the teachings of the Word of God are not to be studied just to have a head knowledge of them. Because what we believe determines how we behave. Paul was reminding the people of God in Corinth of the truth of the indwelling of the Spirit of God, of the truth concerning redemption, with the purpose of showing them and showing us that this great privilege brings duty. We have a duty to glorify God. A privilege indeed to glorify God in our bodies and in our spirits. Our catechism asks the question, what is the chief end of man? The answer given is man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. As saved sinners, we're to glorify God in all that we do. And we're to glorify God so that others might be brought to glorify Him. Whatever we do in life, we're to do all to the glory of God. Let me take you through a few references with regard to this. First of all, in Matthew 5, in the verse 16, the Lord Jesus is speaking. He's speaking to His followers, to His disciples. He would speak to you as a child of God tonight through the Word. And He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Our good works are part of glorifying God in our bodies and in our spirits which belong to Him. And we're to let others see our good works that they might glorify our Father which is in heaven. Let's move to John's Gospel. John 14 and the verse 13. The Lord Jesus says to His disciples, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Through prayer. What we ask in prayer should be for the glory of God. In John 15, in verse 8, the Lord says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. The fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, and so on. It's to bring glory to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and the verse 13. We read there concerning the giving of God's people, wise by the experiment of this ministration. They glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. Other believers glorified God when they were in need, and the other believers who had to give to them to meet their needs did so. We learn in John 16 and 14 that the Spirit, as the Lord Jesus said, when the Spirit would come, He would glorify Christ. And so if the Spirit of God dwells within us, it is to glorify God through. We're not to grieve the Spirit. We're not to quench the Spirit as God's people. We're to walk in the Spirit. We're to be filled with the Spirit. The hymn writer said, I love my Master. I will not go out free, for He is my Redeemer. He paid the price for me. May we, as God's people, be enabled to rejoice in the great privilege that we're a purchased people. The Spirit of God dwells within us. And may we be enabled to be diligent in our duties, to glorify God in our bodies and in our spirits, which belong to Him. May God bless His word to your hearts, and thank you for tuning in to the broadcast this evening.